A reading from the Acts of the Apostles. Stephen said to the people, the elders and the scribes, "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart, you always oppose the Holy Spirit. You are just like your ancestors. Which of the prophets did your ancestors not persecute? They put to death those who foretold the coming of the Righteous One, whose betrayers and murderers you have now become. You received the law as transmitted by angels, but you did not observe it." When they heard this, they were infuriated, and they ground their teeth at him. But Stephen, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked up intently to heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And Stephen said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out in a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed upon him together. They threw him out of the city and began to stone him. The witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they were stoning Stephen, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Then he fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he said this, he fell asleep. Now Saul was consenting to his execution. I have chosen this reading from the Acts of the Apostles so that we might reflect briefly on this martyrdom of Stephen. In some ways, I suppose it's strange during this celebrative Easter season to be paying attention to an act like this that takes our attention away from the glories of these days. Nevertheless, it is important within the context of a celebration of new life to be aware again of the Paschal mystery and the elements that are involved. There are three things here in this story of the stoning of Stephen that I would like to point out. And in each of them, there is a reference to the Holy Spirit. First, Stephen, in rather harsh, tough language, speaks to the scribes and the elders as opposing the Holy Spirit. Their sin, to some degree, is that they oppose the Holy Spirit, what the Holy Spirit is doing. This reminds us of other texts that we find in the scriptures, where someone like Paul, in the letter to the Thessalonians, says, "Do not suffocate the Spirit. Do not extinguish the Spirit." Or in the letter to the Ephesians, the line, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit." Or in the Synoptic Gospels, "Do not blaspheme the Holy Spirit." So evidently the Holy Spirit is a reality that can be grieved, that can perhaps be almost extinguished, suffocated, or certainly opposed, as here in the Acts of the Apostles, or blasphemed. In other words, we are cautioned to take the Holy Spirit seriously, and here we have an incident in which the Holy Spirit is being opposed. Now, in this, it's quite clear that the Holy Spirit stands with Stephen, for it then refers to Stephen filled with the Holy Spirit. Stephen is the one aligned with the Spirit, and those opposing Stephen are not aligned with the Holy Spirit. And who are these? Certainly, yes, the scribes and elders of the people, but what we discover is that in their own rigid way of understanding their history, interpreting their tradition, they are not able to make room for, space for, new acts of the Holy Spirit. They're not able to see this Jesus as the anointed one of God. They're not able to accept Jesus as raised from the dead. They are not able to recognize in the preaching of the apostles and of Stephen what God has done and is doing. They limit God's actions and revelations to an earlier time and are unable to recognize the Spirit when the Spirit is at work in their midst. My mind cannot help but think of our own church at this moment in its history. To what degree is it opposing the Holy Spirit? To what degree is its own rigidity in terms of thinking, in terms of its preoccupation with its own identity, or drawing lines and fences and boundaries? To what degree can we say these things come from the Holy Spirit? Are these not the same attitudes that we find in the text here, wherein those people with that mentality could not hear what Stephen had to say? Understandably, they were infuriated with Stephen because he was telling them the truth. And Stephen's self-confidence is amazing. It says, of course, he was filled with the Holy Spirit, but looking into the heavens, he sees Jesus, and he sees himself as aligned with Jesus and aligned with the Spirit. So besides this awareness that it's very possible to grieve the Spirit by those who oppose the Spirit, we can find in our church today that same reality of opposition to what the Holy Spirit is doing, and the need for us to stand up with confidence in the face of it, with freedom, without fear, with the kind of boldness we find here in Stephen and in the preaching of the apostles, to stand firm our ground and to even be saying to the elders and the leaders of our own church today, you are not speaking of the Spirit, for indeed you are acting just like others before who are unable to see the Spirit and to recognize prophecy when it's in our midst. And so the need for us, ourselves, to be men and women of the Spirit in our day and age. Of course, Stephen's confidence and boldness leads, like that of Jesus, to his own martyrdom, in this case being stoned to death. But what is amazing is how Stephen's death here somewhat parallels that of Jesus Christ on the cross. For as Jesus said, "Into your hands, Lord, I commend my spirit," Stephen here calls out as well, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." That the Spirit that has sustained Stephen is now being returned to the one who had given that Spirit to him, namely the risen Christ. And then, shortly before his death, he says, "Lord, do not hold this against them," paralleling Jesus' "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they do." It may be this that is the most climactic moment in the text, after we see the challenge that Stephen presented, after we see the self-confidence with which he spoke, after he alerts them to the fact that they are not aligned with the Spirit of God, but really with an evil spirit. In the end, he is able to say, "Lord, forgive them." Am I able to do the same? Am I able to reach out and embrace those who hurt or disappoint me? When I look and see places and actions in the church that hurt and disappoint, and bewilder? Am I able not only to speak up with confidence and freedom the truth as I see it, but am I also able to say, they do not know what they are doing. Please, Lord, forgive them. So in the end, Stephen also witnesses not only to a courage that comes from God, but also to a capacity to forgive that equally comes from God alone. As we face trials and struggles with our church today, can we speak with the same boldness and confidence, but also with that deep capacity for forgiveness?